When I knew Cameron, he was a very old man and wore carpet slippers all the time and didn't talk any more. He smoked cigars and occasionally listened to Burl Ives records. He lived with one of his sons, who was now a middle-aged man himself and starting to complain about growing old. God damn it, there's no getting around the fact that I'm not as young as I used to be. Cameron had his own easy chair in the front room. It was covered with a wool blanket. Nobody else ever sat in that chair, but it was always as if he was sitting there anyway. His spirit had taken command of that chair. Old people have a way of doing that with the furniture they end their lives sitting in. He didn't go outside anymore during the winter, but he would sit out on the front porch sometimes in the summer and stare past the rose bushes in the front yard to the street beyond where life calendared its days without him, as if he had never existed out there at all. That wasn't true, though. He used to be a great dancer and would dance all night long in the 1890s. He was famous for his dancing. He sent many a fiddler to an early grave, and when the girls danced with him, they always danced better, and they loved him for it. And just the mention of his name in that county made the girls feel good and would get them blushing and giggling. Even the serious girls would get excited by his name or the sight of him. There were a lot of broken hearts when he married the youngest of the Singleton girls in 1900. "She's not that pretty," refrained the sore losers, and they all cried at the wedding. He was also a very good poker player in the county, where people played very serious poker for high stakes. Once a man sitting next to him was caught cheating during a game. There was a lot of money on the table and a piece of paper that represented 12 head of cattle, 2 horses and a wagon. That was part of a bet. The man's cheating was made public by one of the older men at the table reaching swiftly across without saying a word and cutting the man's throat. Cameron automatically reached over and put his thumb on the man's jugular vein to keep the blood from getting all over the table and held him upright, though he was dying, until the hand was finished and the ownership of the 12 head of cattle, 2 horses and a wagon was settled. Though Cameron didn't talk anymore, you could see events like that in his eyes. His hands had been made vegetable-like by rheumatism, but there was an enormous dignity to their repose. The way he lit a cigar was like an act of history. Once he had spent a winter as a sheep herder in 1889. He was a young man, not yet out of his teens. It was a long, lonely winter job in godforsaken country, but he needed the money to pay off a debt that he owed his father. It was one of those complicated family debts that it's best not to go into detail about. There was very little exciting to do that winter except look at sheep, but Cameron found something to keep his spirits up. Ducks and geese flew up and down the river all winter, and the man who owned the sheep had given him and the other sheep herders a lot, an almost surrealistic amount, of 44-40 Winchester ammunition to keep the wolves away, though there weren't any wolves in that country. The owner of the sheep had a tremendous fear of wolves getting to his flock. It bordered on being ridiculous if he were to go by all the 44-40 ammunition he supplied his sheep herders. Cameron heavily favoured this ammunition with his rifle that winter by shooting at the ducks and geese from a hillside about 200 yards from the river. A 44-40 isn't exactly the greatest bird gun in the world. It lets go with a huge, slow-moving bullet like a fat man opening a door. Cameron wanted those kinds of odds. The long months of that family-debted exile winter passed slowly day after day, shot after shot, until it was finally spring, and he had maybe fired a few thousand shots at those ducks and geese without hitting a single one of them. Cameron loved to tell that story and thought it was very funny and always laughed during the telling. Cameron told that story just about as many times as he had fired at those birds years in front of and across the bridge of 1900 and up the decades of this century until he stopped talking.